Five, four, three, two, one, zero. All engine running. Liftoff. We have a liftoff.
Hello and welcome, everyone, to Truth Bearing Podsequences. So this is the podcast where my co-host and I listen to all the Cincinnati Beast.
It's fine.
Cincinnati-based craft beer podcast media from the previous week. And then we get together at a podcast host. And today we are back at Higher Gravity Summit Park. Thank you for being such a gracious podcast host. We hope there aren't too many consequences from the host of the other podcasts and craft beer media, because maybe or maybe not. It all depends on if you listen to the other ones or not after you listen to our pod. There might be, you know, our take or versions on what they said. So far in 2024, we've been relatively unscathed from the other podcasts. And I don't know if that means we're doing it right or doing it wrong, but we're going to do it this way, and that's the way it is going to be.
Yes.
My name is Mark. I'm a craft beer enthusiast. I also am a taproom manager here locally. I brewed beer for several years. The other voice you heard belongs to the best co-host in Podcastlandia.
I'm Julia, and I love to drink all the craft beer here in Cincinnati and beyond. And hopefully we don't get taken away by a tornado today.
Some weather stuff going on.
Yeah. It's raining right now. And luckily, all of our equipment is powered by batteries. So if the lights go out, we're good.
Well, you know what? Most of you might know what we're talking about as far as that weather is concerned, because I would imagine our audience is very local. But with almost 10,000 downloads, I have to believe that we're reaching somebody outside of the 275 loop.
Like, say, somewhere as far as Texas?
Yeah. Yeah. As far as Texas. All the way over there.
Way down south. And I'm not talking about Northern Kentucky this time.
Yeah.
Shout out, Christine. Hope that you are having a wonderful week.
Absolutely. Yeah. So let's see. No craft beer podcast would be a good craft beer podcast if we weren't drinking craft beer. And sometimes we drink other stuff. Sometimes we have cocktails. Sometimes we have non-alcoholic beers. Sometimes we have wine. Mm-hmm. It just all depends. But today we are drinking craft beer. Julia, what you drinking?
I have a beer that I had a lot of last year because I think it is fantastic. It is from Streetside. It is a Czech dark lager. So I know your favorite style, Marco.
Yeah.
Nozdravi. It's wonderful. Just as good this year as it was last year. Yeah.
Excellent. Excellent. I'm having a new beer to Higher Gravity Summit Park. It is a, according to the can, a limited release. Mm-hmm. It is a wet hopped Headhunter.
Which I would like to say, we spoke this into existence last week.
Yeah.
We said we have an idea for them.
How about this, fatheads?
They should take this Headhunter stuff and put some full cone in there.
Yeah. You know, you had the regular Headhunter. Mm-hmm. We had Imperial Headhunter. Mm-hmm. Now we have Wet Hop Headhunter.
Yeah. And we said, like, they have a week to do it, to make this and can it and get it down to us.
Right.
And they did it.
They did it.
So shout out to
Fatheads.
Fantastic.
So all the thoughts and opinions on the podcast are ours and ours alone. They do not reflect any entity which we may be affiliated with, such as our full-time jobs, part-time jobs, or the jobs that are part-time after those jobs, mm-hmm. or our, you know, the podcast hosts like Higher Gravity.
Yes.
So if you want to add us, go ahead and add us. We'll tell you how to do that later. But just keep in mind that it's just us.
It is.
And just what we're thinking.
Yes.
So, and it's also made to be entertaining. Sometimes we accidentally become informational. Do not take financial advice from us. No. Do not take parenting advice from us.
Do not take medical advice from us.
Do not take medical advice from us.
Basically, don't take any of our advice because we don't know what we're talking about.
However, we're still going to tell you what we want to tell you anyway.
True that.
And to get that started, you got to know what we watched, listened to, or snorted last week. Go ahead, Julia.
We only have two pieces of content to go over, and both of them are video-based.
Okay.
We have this week's episode of the Bruce Guys Barstool Perspective Booze News, whatever they're calling themselves this week.
Yep.
And then we have, as we were recording this, the episode of The Weekly Pint from the Gnarly Gnome.
Yep.
Yeah.
Got that.
So you can watch both of these on YouTube. You can watch Weekly Pint, the recap on the Facebooks, and I believe you can watch recaps on Twitter as well. So would you like to start with Bruce Guys or Weekly Pint?
Neither, actually, Julia. I'm going to go ahead and start with Adam Makes Beer.
Ooh, throwing a curveball in.
Yeah.
Nice. So, he is our unofficial show sponsor.
Thank you, Adam.
So shout out to Adam for not knowing that that we do this.
Yeah. So actually, this is something that I didn't ask Julia to watch as content, but Adam Makes Beer put out a, he did a live stream on what would be last Saturday. So let's say the day before Easter.
Okay.
And then that stream was still up on that Sunday. And it was a message. It was going to be a conversation where people can hop on live, and it was going to be about the brewing industry and making a career in the brewing industry and some things, some anecdotes or some information.
So the podcast form of this, because it is out on podcatchers as well as YouTube, it's episode 28, Growing Your Career in the Brewing Industry.
As you watch it, he mentioned several times he wasn't even sure if he was going to put it on podcast form.
Oh, okay.
So he had intentions of it living on YouTube, but he wasn't sure if it was going to go out as a podcast.
Gotcha.
So glad to see that it did go out as a podcast. He starts out by explaining that this isn't a regularly scheduled
episode.
Mm-hmm. And then he goes in to tell you that it's going to talk about the business and being a professional in the business or just being in the business. And then he slid sort of naturally into some personal information. He gives personal updates on his live Q&As where he tells you sort of where he's at physically, what he's trying to do to continue to fight Father Time, because what he does as a job does have a physical component to it. So it is important for him to just communicate how he's working that through to hopefully give information to people and say, look, you know, this is part of the gig. You know, heck, just like we were talking before we recorded, I moved 52 kegs on Saturday.
Yeah.
Well, you're not going to do that if you're not in the state to be able to do that. Mm-hmm. The other thing is we'll get to that a little bit later in the recap. But he tells you about what's going on with him as far as his health and what he's working on, because it intertwines with the job. He takes a couple of questions from the online chat during this. He talks about networking. He has a couple of stories about networking, about what people may think is networking and how networking happens, and then experiences in real life where the perception of networking was happening, and then maybe that wasn't actually what was going on at all. Mm-hmm. How he approaches that, not telling you how you should, mm-hmm. but telling you his experience on how he's doing it and why he's doing it that way, given his previous experience. Mm-hmm. He also goes in and talks about getting into the business, period. A lot of people want to get into the business for many different reasons. They like craft beer. They want to get into the business because they think if they work at a brewery, they're not gonna work, or they think that it's all
free
just
beer all the time.
Free beer all
I'll
the time.
Never buy beer again.
Yeah, or they're okay with low wages and compensating for the fact that you can go after your shift and have whatever beer you want. You don't
so
have
Marco,
to have a tab.
For you working in the brewing industry, how much money have you saved on buying beer since you entered the professional beer industry space?
Yeah, that's a fun question. There is something to be said for somebody who likes and wants to enjoy craft beer where, you know, a week goes by and you didn't have to put any extra money out. But there's also, too, that brewery explorer part of you mm-hmm. just at some point has to go and try other stuff.
Right.
The other thing, too, there's a check and balance in the sense of that. Well, is the stuff I'm making as good as it could be? Is mm-hmm. the stuff I'm making as good as, you know, what other people are putting out? I mean, you don't know that unless you go taste
sure,
other people's
absolutely.
Stuff.
Absolutely.
So, but he also touches on what you're willing to accept and his idea or perception of what he does and doesn't accept from a standpoint of work-life ratio, pay. To performance ratio, discussions from he as a head brewer to an owner, and some of his experiences from an owner to him. He also talks about getting into the going back a little bit, getting into the business. Mm-hmm. I like craft beer. I want to get into the business. Okay. Are you going to go and seek a professional education? Mm-hmm. Or are you just going to go and start at ground level and be a cellarman?
Back to a bartender to hopefully get back into...
Possibly, or just be a cellarman and wash kegs and you know, spray off floors. And, mm-hmm. of course, being an educator himself, someone who prides himself as being an educator in the beer space, but also to his team, mm-hmm. And to others, those who follow Adam Makes Beer, but his previous career was teaching. And so he's not going to knock or bemoan teaching as a profession or anybody who wants to seek out teaching. What he will tell you is get into a brewery fast, because you want to know, is that the type of work that you actually want to do?
Right.
You know, the idea or vision of making beer and then being somebody who's a part of that is really cool. But do you want to move 52 kegs on a Saturday? Do you want to grain out on a mash tun that's 15 barrels? Do you want to
be filling out a spreadsheet for 2 weeks straight trying to balance ingredients or recipes or bar tabs, whatever it may be? Yeah.
Yeah. Or do you want to be around water all the time? Mm-hmm. And, you know, if you're going to wear tennis shoes, your shoes are going to get soaked. Then you get boots, and then you're sweating in your boots, and it's 102 degrees outside, and it's sweltering hot in the brewery. I mean, is all this stuff that you still love, mm-hmm. or is it something that, you know, you have a passion for, and maybe you should look in a different direction? You know, so he talks about that as well. It's a very honest and open conversation, in my opinion, from him. Now, I mean, those of you who listen to this pod know that I haven't met Adam. I just know Adam through these social channels, and I hope at some point I get to meet him. But I do feel that he was coming off extremely genuine, and I feel that to anybody who is in the business or wants to be in the business, they can either relate or learn something from that conversation. So do go and seek it out. I think that anybody that is... curious about the day and the day in the life, mm-hmm. So to speak, of someone in the craft beer business would find the time interesting, and many would find it useful, and those in the business, I think, would find it both.
I like that.
Let's say you're a parent who has a child that is, or an adult child, mm-hmm. that is thinking about one way to go in their career. Like, hey, I was thinking about maybe next semester signing up for, you know, this brewing sciences course. Okay, throw this pod on. Let's watch this together, and let's see what we learn together.
That's really cool.
You know, so that could definitely be helpful. And even to somebody who's 40 years old and has been brewing homebrew for 25 years, and like, you know what, I've always thought about this. Of course, every home brewer has thought about going mm-hmm. pro. Well, turn this on and let's see how you feel about it. And that's not positive or negative. It's just, hey, this is real explanation, a real talk about this kind of stuff.
Yeah, sure thing. I guess with that one out of the way, I will ask for the second time officially now, do you want to talk about Brew Skies Booze News, or would you like to talk about the Weekly Pint?
Let's talk about the Weekly Pint.
All right. This episode was on April Fool's Day.
No, it wasn't.
And Noam made a fool out of himself.
He's the fool.
Through this episode. This is episode 2.
Where the hell is he?
Episode 208, We're All Fools, and it's so much fun, which I have thoughts about.
Okay.
Marco, are you an April Fool's Day fan? Do you tend to enjoy the holiday, the shenanigans, the tomfoolery and the bamboozling that happens on the 1st of April?
In the sense that the gnome enjoys it, I'm going to say yes. In any context outside of that, probably very little. I'm not somebody who wakes up and is excited. It's like, ooh, how am I going to, you know,
be pranked today?
Yeah. How am I going to be pranked, or how am I going to prank others today? No, absolutely not. But to see funny businesses that are typically not leaning into some sort of, you know, weird, quirky or comedic space, mm-hmm. put something out that's, you know, totally outside of character, or and many times can be like, really?
Mm-hmm.
You know, just to somebody who doesn't know, I'm like, yeah, that's kind of cool.
Yeah, I like the creativity aspect of it. But as a whole, I'm not really a fan of the holiday, just because I will see something and I'll be excited about it. Like, oh my God, that seems awesome. And then I go, oh, wait. No, that's not real. That will never be real. Well, although there have been some April Fool's things, not just in the craft beer space, but just as a whole, you know, video games or whatnot, that started as an April Fool's joke that became real things.
Of course. Matt Tree was one of the biggest examples locally in beer.
Absolutely.
With the was it orange creamsicle or something like that?
Yeah, it's the octopus on the can. Was it Dreamsicle?
Shoot. Dreamsicle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that, yeah.
They put that out as a joke, and then it was like, no, like, we need to do that.
No, we have, like, Urban Artifacts, boba tea. Give me that.
I don't. Like, for you. Well, and I also, I'm not a fan of the whole prank a whole country, you know, like, I don't know whether, what was it, the radio, was it War of the Worlds, or I don't remember what it was, that where it was just a complete, like, when everyone only got their news from, you know, radios that were the size of, like, the freaking
the
video
game
over here, like, and you know, everybody thought all of a sudden the world was going to end.
Well, that wasn't an April Fool's thing. That wasn't that an actual like radio, like a fictional radio drama, like a show.
But my point is still, don't do that.
Oh, once I see what you're saying.
On April Fool's Day.
Yeah. Yep. I agree with that. To kind of
and I'd shy away from putting out actual professional announcements on April Fool's Day.
Because people may question their legitimacy. Like, oh, hey, nice joke. I was excited about that, but then I realized it's April Fool's Day, so that's not real.
Like,
As I'm staring at the gigantic bag of coffee sitting on the bar here at Higher Gravity Summit Park.
Yeah.
I'm so excited.
Yeah. That's exciting. But
to get back
it's
to,
not a joke.
Right, but people don't know that. Like, I saw a couple of comments like, is this a joke? Is this surreal? And it's like, oh, no, it's real. Are you sure it's real, or are you just saying that because it's still April Fool's Day?
Yeah.
Yeah. Gnome refused to let us pick his beer last night.
As he should.
He finally learned from his mistakes.
We told him.
Don't trust us
we
to do this.
We told him face to face.
Yeah, yeah. We're like, you know, if you really want to drink this particular beer, you got to just grab that beer. You can't leave it up to us, because we will disappoint you every single time.
And much like April Fool's Day, sometimes it's on purpose and sometimes it's not.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. He drank a beer that smelled like gym socks and flowers.
Yeah, gym class heroes or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yep, that's, gym class heroes from Urban Artifact. It was actually one of their April Fool's beers from, I think the bottle said 2017, if I'm reading my notes correctly. Yeah. And he may have gotten a bit gassy from said beer.
Oh, he had to have had bubble guts.
Well,
he had to have had bubble guts.
There is no sip count for this episode.
There's no way that poop was solid.
we'll let the flatulence count at the end of the recap speak for itself. How about that? Because
that's fine.
It got almost uncomfortable.
So he poured an Urban Artifact beer, and it was actually pretty amazing.
The head retention from a 2017 beer, absolutely phenomenal. I was very impressed by that. But man, I'm glad that we were only experiencing drinking with him via a screen and headphones, and we weren't anywhere near that house. People might have called like the gas company. I mean, it seemed like it was getting bad as he was drinking that beer.
It's so funny. So, because he poured the beer.
Though?
He poured the beer.
Yes.
And then this light came out from behind him. And then Hoobus Thank the Reason started playing. And then he took a sniff. He took a taste, and then he kissed the glass. It was amazing.
There was something special about that episode last night, and again, there are plenty of times where during the weekly pint, like, I'm like, man, that'd be fun to be over there, like hanging out in person, drinking, doing, participating in like the crowdsourced cocktails or whatever. But last
and
night
the
was not.
Is you.
Oh my God! It was a thing. There were, as he was trying to describe the smell of this beer, there were a lot of potential great band names that were thrown out during, as I call, the sippening session.
The sippening session.
Yes, yes. One of the band names, potentially, Naughty Wildflowers.
Snapping jockstraps.
And then one that you mentioned that I think probably topped the list, Gym Sock Juice.
Gym Sock Juice, yeah.
Ooh, which, I don't know, he kept saying it's like gym socks, but it's good.
It's because Smells Like Teen Spirit was already taken.
He went over some of the local breweries, local and non-local breweries, April Fool's posts.
Yeah, he did.
Which, I mean, kind of, again, brought up the conversation that we started with, the creativity level is what he really enjoys most.
And some were not breweries. Some were public houses.
Correct.
Bars.
Correct. Correct, correct.
Yeah.
Yep. That kind of spawned into talking about social media posts in general. Is it okay to use AI for social media content?
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure, but I think what Noam's main point is that as long as it's not going to put him out of a job.
Mm-hmm. I do think it is interesting, though. I think that AI has a place when it comes to helping to enhance what you're already doing. But I think that, and Noam kind of touched on this a bit, if you rely on it to do everything, your personality doesn't really, and I say your personality is in like
no personality that comes out.
Right. I mean, it doesn't allow the personality of your brand or whatever you want to try to do to have any place in the posts almost.
Well, yes. I think the biggest thing is that the creator,
mm-hmm.
Spark, initiative, double check, and then tweaking, all that stuff needs to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Because if not, it's going to be very broad, basic, and robotic.
Right. Right.
You know, so, I mean, use it. Because what it's able to do is to compile so much information in a split second.
Sure,
and
absolutely.
Be able to help and assist. But from there, you need to craft and curate it.
Right. And that's kind of my thing. It should be, I think it's great to use to enhance what you're doing.
Yeah.
But you should still have your human fingerprints all over it.
Oh, he even used the analogy of basically seasoning. It should be seasoning.
Agreed. Yes. 100%. He gave a little teaser for the Columbus trip that a group of creators are going to be taking next weekend. No. I don't know. Dates, times. Nothing makes sense anymore. Mid-April, a group of creators will be going up to Columbus and drinking and recording stuff. And it's going to be...
Holy mafuck, it is next weekend.
I know.
Shit.
That's why I'm like... Wait, hold on. I got a button for that one. Not that one. Where does the button stop and Marco begin? Is it this one?
That's umami.
That's not it either. Is it this one?
There we go.
Eventually, I hit the right. It's like I have three buttons that I hit on a consistent basis, and I can't be bothered to switch my view on the board to show the names. I actually don't on this.
It's because we don't need one, damn it.
No, we're funny enough as is, damn.
What are we, a 90s sitcom? We don't need a fucking laugh track.
No, we laugh at ourselves enough. You know what? You know what we could do? We could each go outside with our beer cans and see, hold it to the sky and see who gets struck by lightning first.
Dope.
That'll be excellent content. You know, we will get millions of views on that if we do it.
Julie, if I wake up dead and we have millions of views, that'd be awesome.
are you willing to sacrifice for our craft?
As long as I can wake up.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. And you know what? The Lichtenberg scars are pretty freaking cool looking. I'm sure they hurt like
that. Lickma what?
Lichtenberg scars. Have you ever seen scars from people that have gotten struck by lightning?
No, Julia.
Oh, my God.
Because I don't search these things
out.
Oh,
my God. Do not go outside and try to get struck by lightning for one of these things. But if it happens,
I wonder if that's what Rachel meant. She texts us. She texts me.
I know. I'm like, I didn't get this text.
But for general, she said, really bad weather coming. Have a plan, please. And I said, okay. And I don't, is that what she meant for us to go out and hold aluminum cans in the air?
It's a plan. It's not a good one, but it's a plan.
Well, she didn't say
she didn't say
one.
It had to be a good one. Yeah, just have a plan. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. Let's see. So, yes, teaser for the Columbus trip, which we still have absolutely no idea what's going to happen or anything because
I think we're going to go to Columbus. And
I think
record.
We're going to go to Columbus and drink and record and drive around and what?
What?
Yes. Two other notes that I have for this episode. Gnome went over some of the Speak of the Devil variants from Streetside because Speak of the Devil Day is coming up the weekend that we're going to be in Columbus. And also, that's the same weekend that the Hollow Earth Festival, the very first one in Hamilton's happening.
Nice.
And we're missing it all. We're missing all of it. So hopefully these things go well and they have it again next year and we'll go. Mark is like, what? No, why?
No. Well, I...
Sometimes
I'm fast-forwarding next week a little bit, but there's a brewery that's putting out a donut beer for the
yes,
Hollow Earth.
Yes.
I'm like,
I saw that. I'm like, oh, my God, I need to go. Oh, I'm going to be in Columbus.
Yeah.
I saw that for. And again, they're having
Hollow
the
Earth,
very first
there's no
Hollow
center
Earth.
In a donut.
Right. Look up the Hollow Earth movement. It is actually a kind of fascinating theory. I don't believe it for a second, but just the
really
concept
many,
of it is
or
like,
anybody should,
no, but. I mean, it's a freaking monument in Hamilton, Ohio. That should tell you enough about its popularity as a theory.
But we'll talk about it next week.
Yes, so. We absolutely will. We'll talk about it while we record from Columbus.
Sounds good.
There we go. And then the last thing that I had, tune in next week for Cincinnati Beer Week talk.
Yes.
Maybe. That could have been an April Fool's prank. We don't know. See why I hate that day? You get all excited about it and you're like, you know what? Maybe that isn't actually a thing.
I think we know enough to say that Cincy
it's
Beer Week is a possibility. Whether he talks about it next week or not is what we don't know.
True. It all depends on if he gets distracted by
some
call-ins
other,
or the chats or God knows
or
what.
Or dive bars.
Or children.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or lightning.
Lightning, yeah.
Where is that guy?
I don't know.
Did you have any other notes before I get to, and I cannot believe that I have this, before I get to the flatulence count for this episode?
No. Jesus. Go ahead. Do we have an intro for the flatulence count?
No. I thought about it, and I went, I am not stooping that low.
You're not going to...
No. I am more dignified than making fart sounds.
Okay.
Like, you know, it's not going to happen.
Not going to happen?
In this episode, and I cannot believe the mic picked them. There were probably more that the mic didn't pick up. Yeah.
Do you have one of those Amazon Dots at your house?
No. We used to have an Echo, and middle of the night, it just went, I'm sorry, I didn't hear what you said. No one said a damn thing. That thing was fucking haunted. We chucked it out the window. We're like, nope, absolutely not.
So for anybody who does, you've probably done this already. And you can just say, hey, Alexa, fart. And then it'll just give you, it'll rip off a bunch of farts.
Never
say,
thought to do
Would
that.
Would you like to hear a wet and juicy fart?
Oh, God.
And it'll just give you a wet, and it'll just run, it'll just go on a run of different farts.
Oh, my God, that's amazing and terrible.
Yeah, it's like about 2.5 minutes in, the family's like, all right, shut it off. Unplug that fucker.
Not only is it haunted, but it has gas.
Yeah.
All right, in episode 200...
If you ever want to hear any more farts...
Oh, my God. In episode 208 of... I'm going to do it because we don't have anything else to talk about. The Weekly Point. Cheers.
Plang. Cheers.
Point. There were a grand total of 5 edible farts.
Audible.
Oh, my God.
You're not
I don't know
eating
what I'm
them.
Doing. No. Why did I do that?
I don't know.
Because the whole thing just had me just rattled, and so I don't know what words I'm saying. There were 5. which is 10 ounces, which is 0.625 pints if you are playing our drinking game, which is about how much you're drinking playing our game, not how much the people were counting our drinking for those who still
listen, everybody,
give us crap
don't,
about
don't
this.
Give a shit about it. Listen, your job is to drink 2 ounces per active
Countable for these episodes.
Inference.
Correct.
Or action.
Yes.
So you do 2 ounces.
Yes.
Whatever they do is up to them.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, I mean, just know your role, people.
Yes. Yes, yes. All right, that is all that I had for that episode. We are already 46 minutes in.
Dope.
So we are doing fantastic. What do you say we take a real quick break? Because you're getting low on your Wet Hop Headhunter.
And I've had 60 ounces of water today.
Yes, you have. You are hydrated as fuck.
That's right.
Good for you. We're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about Barstool Perspective, a.k.a. Bruce Guy's Booze News, a.k.a. the Brett and Mike Show.
Well, don't threaten me with a good time.
Hell yeah. We'll be right back. And we have made it back. I'm still working on Nasdravi because, I mean, I'm a slow drinker. It's fine. Everything's good.
Nasdravi.
But, Marco, you have something new and spectacular. What you got?
I have Masthead IPA.
Wonderful.
Which I have had on this podcast several times before.
You have. Masthead makes good stuff. Once again, we're not going to Cleveland.
Cleveland.
But maybe that'll be the next creator trip.
Maybe.
Go all the way up to the Clevelands.
Yeah.
You never know.
You never know.
Exactly. All right. Well, let's say we move on to Bruce Guy's Bruce News. I can't. No, that was right, wasn't it? Yeah. No, I don't know.
Bruce News?
It didn't sound right. Is it Bruce News or Booze News? Or is that one of those words they keep changing up on me?
I think they change it up.
They probably do. Barstool Perspective. That posted on April the 1st, 2024. But they record on a Friday, so there were no pranks, we don't think, in this episode. This one was titled, or is titled, on the YouTubes until they decide to change it, because sometimes that happens.
Yeah.
Sean Diddy Combs is a diddler and a scumbag, and we called it.
Okay.
Which is accurate. They did. They mentioned this several months ago, and it has finally been, I guess, allegedly pretty much proven. I mean, you don't do some of the things that the feds and stuff are doing if they don't have stuff. I don't know. Either way, terrible situation.
Terrible.
And may all the victims get some sense of closure somehow during everything that happens.
Oh, my. I hope.
Yeah. Yeah.
I hope.
Yep. They started with, is AI going to start making our beer? Kind of still touching on AI, kind of a slight common thread through these two different episodes that we're talking about.
Yeah, so there was a little bit, I'm not going to spoil all of it, but there was a little bit of talk about AI making your beer. First of all, there's in some breweries, a lot of breweries, and not every brewery, and the smaller scale you are and the more manual you are, there's less automation.
Mm-hmm.
But artificial intelligence basically spitting out what a recipe would look like and then being able to tell the automation what to do, or you using that AI to spit out what a recipe should look like and then you purchasing those ingredients and then you using the automation in your system to make the beer. Some of that's happenings.
So, yes, you could have some AI program, kind of scrape every available beer recipe for a certain style that it can find, and you get this amalgamation of what the top recipes of said style are. And so if they combine all those, this is your recipe for a perfect beer in that style. And that was a perfect pour, Marco. Just want to say, that looks fantastic. For people not watching the live stream, his pint looks gorgeous. What we talked about in the weekly pint, I think that it's fine if you try to use it to enhance in some way or try to find, is there a flaw somewhere, like maybe you take one recipe and you find, well, people have found or have reported that this specific, and I don't know enough about this. So don't take brewing information or advice from Julia by any means.
Or AI advice.
Or AI, right. Know, but I mean, maybe you plug in your recipe into AI saying, can this be made better somehow? And it spits back, well, there are tons of reports that using this specific hop often results in this negative outcome. So do you then take that and say, well, this recipe has always worked using this hop, now we're not going to use that? I mean, that changes everything. I think it would be interesting to see what some brewers would say about trying to use AI for a recipe, for the brewing process, as opposed to using AI for content creation for a brewery. Like, those are vastly, vastly different. We all know that Mike is a huge fan of technology and how it has taken a key presence in our everyday lives. But as big of a fan of technology as Mike is, he doesn't think that AI can come up with a better beer, which I would have to agree with, because it has no way of tasting. You know what I mean? Well, it boils down to personal preference, too. What you consider to be a good beer, I might say, I don't know. But it's such a weird, muddled.
It can find out what's rated space. The best beer. True. And it can actually probably clone a recipe for the what's rated the best beer.
Sure. But the best beer for who? Because again, if it's the best beer, you know, you poll 100 people, like, what is the best beer? 99 people will say beer A, but then you might have the one or two that's like, it's not.
And if you pulled 60 people from the West Side out of that 100, it would end up being something from West Side Brewing.
Absolutely.
So
absolutely,
that just tilts the tables.
I think it also plays a little into, and this was a conversation that the Gnome had on, I forget which of his shows, which of his conversations.
Well, it wasn't here because he's not.
It
here.
Absolutely was not here. Well, it might have been. But,
well,
like,
but not today.
But it's kind of not today.
So far.
But some of this stuff starts to pull some of the magic and creativity out of making beer. If everything is very, very static and black and white and no one's taking their own risks, either with ingredients or process or whatever, because, well, this piece of paper or this website says I should do it that way.
But
it removes some of that.
But there's still that now. There's still breweries that are that take the time to be deeply involved and very caring about the ingredients that they select, you know, because there's this whole spectrum out there of people that are brewers that, you know, go to that extremely small artisan level, like the chef that goes to the market every day, the fresh market, and spends 2 hours at the fresh market picking out the freshest vegetables and the freshest meat and the freshest fish, and go back and, you know, you pay, you know, $40 for a fish plate or $50 for a fish plate or $60 for a fish plate, versus somebody who brings it in from a food purveyor for, you know, a tenth of the cost, and then is able to serve you, here is my fish and chips and here's their fish and chips. Yeah, you're going to taste the difference.
Sure.
But that doesn't mean that your fish and chips at your price isn't good.
Well, but what I'm saying is, to kind of counter that a little bit, is the things like, you know, spontaneously fermented beers and using, you know, wild yeast and using these things that you don't really know what's going to happen with that. That little magic, that little, you know, that bit of creativity. If everything moves towards, this is our recipe, even though, okay, we want these specific, you know, hops, this malt, you're still going to try to pick the freshest of those. And, you know, you're okay with playing around a little bit with slight variations where, well, this, you know, Cascade Hop Harvest isn't exactly the same as last year's, but we can kind of utilize this scent difference or maybe flavor difference to make this version of last year's batch even better, versus someone that's using that, you know, to use the word magic to say, I have no idea what this is going to do, but I'm going to throw it into this batch anyway. And we're going to let it sit. And you can't AI that.
You know
what I mean?
And those that care to that degree,
they're not going to use AI anyway.
They're not anyway. They may use it in a supplementary basis.
Sure. Again, the seasoning, you know, yes. the enhancement, the supplemental.
Yeah.
But it's not going to.
It's not going to run their brewery.
Yes. No. Yes. Yeah.
Absolutely not.
All right.
We found a way to stretch all this shit out today.
Oh, absolutely. With valid conversation, I think.
I feel it's valid.
I feel it's valid, yeah. Apparently, kind of on that same, like, taking the magic out of brewing, GPS takes the fun out of going from point A to point B, so maybe we won't use GPS to get up to Columbus.
Well, Julia, you're too young to remember this, but...
MapQuest? Paper maps?
I had...
Triptychs?
Triptychs, paper maps. I was trying to be courteous to you.
I'm old as fuck, too.
The pockets behind the front driver's seat and the passenger seat.
They're for maps.
Of
because
my
we never
wife and I
fold those damn things up.
My car, not my wife and I's car, because my wife is so much younger than I am. They were full of paper maps and triptychs and the places we were trying to get and, you know, all this stuff. And Mike, I have to tell you, we're better off now. It's better. You can yearn for the day where you need to open a map or stop and roll down the window and go, yo, Holmes, trying to get back to the interstate.
Mm-hmm.
And then
you have to rely on a stranger to be honest with you about how to get to wherever you're trying to get to.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, and then all your tires got stolen. or you know, you're like...
You'll see a tree stump about 500 yards on the left-hand side.
Yeah.
Well, about another 100 yards past that.
Where the old Golden Corral used to be, but
right.
Now, you know, like,
I'm not
don't
from
know.
Here. I don't know
don't
where
know.
That was.
Don't yeah. know where that was. So we're better
I was,
off.
I
we're
was wanted to
now.
Know when you went to like the AAA station, AAA like office or whatever, and they were making your triptychs up for you. They took that little stamp that had like construction on it. It was a little arrow, and they were just stamping the shit out of it. I'm like, how do they know? Maybe the construction there's finished by, like, they're not yeah. looking this stuff up on
it's anything. So much like, better where? Now too, because if you put in your location, you can see where the speed traps are.
Exactly. Police located ahead.
Yeah.
And then you click they're still there or they're not there. Speed. And you help everyone around you.
Yeah. Yeah. It's so
it's
much
great. It's perfect.
So much better now, Mike.
Yep, yep.
Mike,
I agree.
Grow up. You can't grow taller, but you can grow up. So
wow.
Nice sheen on that foo, by the way. And on the head. My goodness, did you get that freshly waxed?
I wasn't gonna bring that up, but so glad that you did. Speaking of Mike.
You got a Brazilian probably at the same time. You have a deal where you get your head waxed and your, you know, taint.
Both of them at the same time.
Yeah.
That's what you do. You just got to go for it all at once. Just.
So how about no?
gluts of wine in France equals lower wine prices. Maybe.
Maybe.
They kind of went down. I don't want to say they went down a rabbit hole in this one because it was all very on topic. But I think they dove into the price of French wines and is that going to impact the price of American wines and other wines and all that. Like I think they went way more into that than what they intended to.
So,
and I was there for it.
Yeah.
It was fantastic.
What's weird is that, so the French government subsidizes wineries.
Mm-hmm.
The U.S. government subsidizes soybean farmers or corn farmers. So weird. What the F, actually? Anyway, there's a glut of French wine out there, which, by the way, French wine is already less expensive than the better wines coming out mm-hmm. of California. Then they're like, well, what do they say?
They were talking about how they're not like wine snobs, and they're like, well, the Portuguese wine the cabs have is always
Portuguese
like,
wine. And it's like,
wow.
Wow. So Portuguese wine, French wine, Portuguese wine, and not Chilean. Brett's not like, not Chilean.
Or Honduran. They're still not, even though the climate is warm enough. And they knew, like they, for wine drinkers that aren't wine people, boy, they had a lot to say.
What I would like is to know, what are the cheap good ones?
Yeah.
You know, these whether they're French, whether they're Portuguese or Spanish, whatever they are, what are the good ones?
What are the good ones, yeah. So, like, you don't need to spend $70 on a bottle of wine. Okay, well,
no.
what wines can I try for like $10 a bottle that are good?
Yeah. Hey, Brett and Mike, why don't you do us all a favor? Take, you know, 30 minutes and run us through which ones you like and what their prices are.
Yes.
And look, I mean, you could tell me it's red. It tastes red. It's good. That's fine enough.
That means nothing to me. You know what I mean?
So no, like, but no, the point is, like, I don't need nerdy bullshit. $10, $20, $15, whatever it is. It's French, it's Portuguese, it's Spanish, and I like it. This is where I bought it.
All I'm going to say on what they talked about for the title of this episode is stop investing in Diageo tequila and start investing in Kevin Hart's tequila.
I think, just like I was asking Brett and Mike to give us some content on wine, I think we're long overdue to give our listeners content on tequila.
Okay.
I think we need to have five or six and give our sort of recommendations on what we like in those and be very specific.
Okay.
You know, these are Blancos, these are Reposados, these are Añejos, this is what's available.
That's more than I know already.
What we like. And just, you know, do a tequila episode.
That would be fun.
Yeah.
That would be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm down.
How about, so April, we've got the...
April's full. Like, April's we full. Can't do anything else in April. We still need to figure out the baseball beers. And I don't know if that's going to happen in April because, again, it's already...
So let's say July. Tequila July.
Tequila July. All right. When does Higher Gravity bring back their Tequila Tuesdays? Because that would be
no
a good
idea.
Time to... Jason, let us know.
If only we had a contact.
If only we knew people. Moving on to other topics. Should people be allowed to home distill?
Okay, this... I'm
waiting for Marco's take on this one.
I actually... Their take on this is, I think, extremely thought out.
Mm-hmm, I agree.
And I like it a lot. And what I would say is... Just because you can, does that mean you should?
Mm-hmm.
And, but however.
But also Darwin's Law?
But however, what I would say is, if you can, then should you be allowed to? Is
right.
also a different thing.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So what my thought on it is, I actually think you should be allowed, but it's extremely dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
Done incorrectly, not only could you blow something up and hurt yourself, you could also have damaging health effects.
Correct.
However, should you be allowed? I think you should actually be allowed. You can put in your own water heater.
Doesn't mean you should, right? Right, I agree.
Doesn't mean you should. I mean, you can figure out how to sweat pipes and how to add the expansion packs and, you know, put the drip pan in and all that, and you can file for the permits. That doesn't mean you should do it yourself. You know, and you could still explode.
Well, I mean, you probably won't explode, but the things around you very well could. And
could.
Yeah. No, I know what you're saying. I kind of feel the same. I think you should be allowed, but you need to understand, just like anything, you need to understand the risks and the risks to those around you if you do choose to do X, Y, or Z. Restaurants. Mike had a very, very specific requirement for restaurants. They should be loud, but not too loud.
Yeah, I mean, who's
going
to...
I mean, right, but it's...
You're right, but the problem is the person judging is the judge.
True.
You know, so the person at the restaurant who's controlling the music, number one type, number two volume,
mm-hmm.
Is deciding your music ambiance.
Sure.
So they could be wrong for you for any number of reasons.
But they could be very right for someone else.
They could be very right for someone else.
Absolutely.
The other thing is that I know they talked about music artists, live artists mm-hmm. in
restaurants,
bars, mm-hmm. breweries. That's a real take, and I understand it. What I would say is to Mike is that the studies are proven. They're shown that live entertainment actually keeps people out of space longer. Now, Mike may be the opposite to that. And Brett may be the opposite.
I think some of it really, I mean, again, it all boils down to the person, their personal preferences, that type of thing. But I think you also have to take into account the space it's being done in, the acoustics. Like, is it somewhere that if someone doesn't really want to hear live music, is there somewhere else in that facility that they can sit on the opposite side of the bar, for example? And that way, yeah, you're still probably going to hear it, but it's not going to be overtaking that space that you're in.
Sure.
Or if they show up and you're like, I'm just really not in the mood for live music for whatever reason today, you can't get away from it. Like, everywhere you go in that facility, the volume is what the volume is. Like, you can't go somewhere where it's a little quieter, or if you really like it, you can't get right up on top of the stage with them and, you know, have it, you know, up volume 11, that kind of thing. So I agree with them to an extent that I think that it really depends on the space and the kind of the courtesy of the establishment and the artist to kind of understand where they're playing and the typical clientele that are going to be there. Are they going to want the volume cranked up on this stuff, or is it somewhere that people are still going to want to have their conversations? So we can still set our stuff up, but maybe the amps or whatever are down a notch or two from where they would be if we're at this different dive bar across town where everyone just wants to fucking party, you know? I think it's just kind of that playing to the space that you're in, reading the room sort of thing. But again, like you said, your space is going to be different than my space. You know, your loud level is going to be different than my loud level.
Yeah, hopefully anybody hosting live entertainment, their staff is able to communicate with that entertainer. Hey, you're too loud, or hey, you need to crank it up, or you know, something of that nature, or you know, stop singing songs that make me want to kill myself.
It'd be a little bit
more upbeat.
Everyone just has to be willing to talk and communicate and just play nice with everyone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and where Mike thinks there's no space for it, and he wants all the best to all the musicians and the artists and the performers. I think there's a space for it.
Sure.
And I personally like live music. I really do. I don't get out to concerts ever. 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 Never. I've been to 2 concerts in my life.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. But I do love live music. Mm. And I get it, though, when you're in a space and, you know, you don't quite vibe with the music. That's tough.
But there's also a difference between choosing to go to a concert and being at just any establishment, even being out at a park or something, and not being aware that all of a sudden a live musical act is going to show up, and how that changes how you view that space. Is that space still going to be welcoming to you? Or are you going, oh, this isn't what I wanted to come out and experience?
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
They moved on to the main story of the episode, the changing health habits around drinking, which I thought was a really, really good conversation. And I will say that I agreed with pretty much everything that they said in this part of it. Mike is a huge fan of wine influencers and how they are changing the landscape of wine drinkers amongst the generations.
Well, they have to do a lot. You know, it's a heavy load to lift. Especially since people younger than myself, and possibly you, Julia, you're much younger than I am, but
not that much younger.
I was trying to make you much younger than me.
I'm not a person that gives two shits about my age. So
Julia, so people younger.
So I'm 56, Marcus 58. You know,
right.
There it's out.
Whatever.
There.
So people younger than us, they don't really they don't fuck around with wine.
True. No FAFOs there. Yeah.
So that's really tough because wine is struggling to find more drinkers. because the older drinkers are dying or drinking less.
Mm-hmm.
The middle drinkers are okay, but they're probably moderating a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And then the younger drinkers are poof,
not drinking,
vanished.
Yeah. They are finding that mocktails and THC are where it's at, not alcoholic beverages of any kind. Which, I mean, again, whatever, that's whatever you choose to do, that's on you. That's fine.
That's absolutely their choice. But yeah. What I would say from an occasional wine drinker
mm-hmm.
is that, man, that's a whole experience you're missing out on.
I would agree. But if you really are just like, I'm just not interested in whatever that is. Okay. I had two more notes on this episode. I have a multiple choice question for this episode, and I have the sip count. So
let's go.
So this includes our break time. So Patreon members, you know, this isn't accurate, but we are for 2.5 shows. We're at 1.5 hours. We are giving you guys content. For those of you listening to the public episode, this will be trimmed down. So you are not going to be getting, I'll just say that our break was like, we'll just say 15 minutes.
Can we go behind the scenes a little bit?
Absolutely.
Doesn't matter if we have one show or 10 shows.
We're going to talk your ear off.
We don't want to have a pod any less than, say,
30 minutes. Yeah. I would say 30 would be our, unless there is legit.
I was going to say an hour, but 30, okay.
Yeah, because, I mean, we have had some episodes. Our episode on Kolsch Night, I think, was under 45.
Oh, nice.
You know what I mean? Like, it's, so I would say that we will always give you at least 30 minutes of public-facing content.
For real.
Because if we're like, hey, we don't have any shows to talk about, we're going to find a topic that we're going to be able to talk about for a bit. Because we're always going to put something out for you guys.
Always.
And there's always going to be something. If nothing else, we'll talk about some of the social media posts that went out from
right.
content creators. So, but yeah, I mean, like, we don't try to stretch these episodes. Like, this is an artificial rabbit holes and creation. Like, hopefully you hear that these are actual conversations that we're having. These are actual rabbit holes we're going down, and we are enjoying every minute of the chaos that we bring to you.
Hell yes.
Week in and week out. To wrap up our recap of Brews Guys Booze News or Brews News or Barstool Perspective or the Ice Machine, I mean, whatever we happen to be, you know, bringing you noise wise
for show.
This time, Gene Simmons is the ultimate health guru.
Okay,
in case you did not know. And Brett and Mike want you to tell them your favorite porno. So comment on this video with what your favorite porn is. I am not on theirs. I am not making this up. Fast forward to the end of the episode. They are asking for your recommendations. I'm not going to tell you what they're going to do with them, but you can figure that out easily enough. We'll leave that one untouched. Yeah?
Yeah.
All right. Marco.
Julia.
Before I get to the multiple choice question, do you have any other notes on episode of Brews Guys Booze News from April 1st, 2024?
No.
All right. No.
No.
Excellent. Multiple choice question.
Who else do you want to hear from?
You
had Liam Neeson.
We had Liam.
No.
What about Leon? Leon Neeson.
Leon Neeson? No.
Awesome. What about Charles Barkley?
That was a terrible show that you just did. I just want to tell you with the Final Four going on and all the everything and women basketball, everything was so amazing. And then your podcast hit and that shit was terrible.
I mean, compared to Caitlin Clark, yeah, we are pretty terrible.
Pretty terrible.
Pretty terrible, yeah.
All right. Anybody else?
What about the Michael Jackson of German dancing? I don't think we've ever actually had the Michael Jackson of German dancing speak in this specific format before.
You mean Joe?
Yeah. Because I don't want you to do Michael Jackson. Yeah. But what would be your impression of Joe as the Michael Jackson of German dancing?
Hey, welcome to Craft Parenting Podcast. This is me, Joe, with my deep V sweater. And I'm joined today.
The poor puppy who's wandering around the tavern is like looking at us like, what are you guys doing?
I'm joined today with my co-host, Carolyn.
All right, what else you got?
I got a multiple choice question.
Okay, let's go.
All right. What is a good number of tits? Is it A, all of them? Is it B, 16, or is it C, 8?
Julia, or is it D?
Exactly.
Sorry, I had to stand up for that one.
Scared the dog.
Of course it did. Did you see that?
Unfortunately, I did.
Is it G, D, Julia?
Oh, no.
You know, I always bring the D on the multiple choice questions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Is D, option C, A?
So that would be 8, all of them. Is that like a motorboat?
No, it was A. A was all of them, right?
Right.
Yeah.
But you said A, C.
No, it was C, S, E, E.
Oh, S, E. See, I read that, or I read the words
you
were
speaking.
You
read the words?
Good Lord, what is happening?
You read the words I was speaking?
So when you said C, A, I'm like, because that makes sense too. You like
if you actually had
like it. Like A, T, E, all of them, 8, all of them. So I'm like, oh, you're making a motorboat joke, which was phenomenal, but that's not what you were doing. So not as phenomenal.
Also,
what are we doing?
Yeah.
I don't know. Let's move on.
Okay.
All right. Because I don't know how we can make this any better. We're just going to keep digging this hole deeper and deeper and deeper. We have a sip count for this episode.
All right. Let's go.
Mike was actually bringing it on the sips this episode. Mike took a total of 12 sips.
Ooh, okay.
I know. Right. Brett took 16.
Brett's a sipper.
He is. He's a sipper. He is a sipper. That brings us to a total of 28 sips.
Sounds good.
Which at 2 ounces per sip, 56 ounces.
Okay.
Which it was under 31 minutes, but slightly over 30 minutes. Okay. That means you are drinking 3.5 pints. That's a pint every 10, a little over a pint every 10 minutes.
I could do that.
Probably with the right beverage.
I did not do that today.
Because you're responsible.
I think I'm at a pint an hour, actually.
Yeah, I'm not, but but that's okay.
I'm at a pint an hour. The only reason I know that is I texted Rachel a couple of times.
Gotcha. So you actually have like the time. Like, oh yeah,
yeah,
that's when I did.
Like,
that's when we took
stamp.
Our break. That's when I got another
yes,
one.
Yes, I have a timestamp.
Nice.
Yeah.
Excellent.
So I'm like a pint an hour.
That's good. That's fine.
Oh, it's totally fine.
And plus, add on like the 60 ounces of water throughout the day and stuff like that.
No.
You're going to be getting up here in a minute. So what do you say we go ahead and wrap up this episode?
Yeah.
And, I mean, there's blue sky again, which means, like, the thunder and lightning, very, very frightening, is going to come down on us any minute now.
Okay.
I completely forgot our outro. This is phenomenal. You're yawning. On our show. Wow.
I woke up really early.
How early?
Not earlier than you. But I went to bed really late.
What's really late?
1:30.
Okay, yeah. Yeah. All right, that's fine. If you like what we've done on this show.
Too late. I went to bed at 1:30 and woke up at 7.
That's 6 hours of sleep. Ish. It's all about the ish.
Yeah.
It's fine. It's fine to be tired. I'm not trying to sleep shame you. I was just making a joke about, I guess our episode wasn't very entertaining for you as you are yawning as we are wrapping this up. Are we to drag this on for another 45 minutes before we end the show?
No, I think it's pretty boring, actually.
That's fine.
Yeah. You were great, though.
I thought you were great.
Well, thank you.
I think we are great.
Thank you.
I think we do a great job on this show, and we have a lot of fun. And we thank you guys for listening to the show, which means that we keep making more and
thank
more
you.
Of these
everyone
shows.
Thank you. Everyone who's been with us from the long time beginning and everyone who's just new to the pod, thank you. I truly appreciate it.
We both do, yeah.
Your listenership is not lost on us because you can't get back time, so thank you.
Yes. If you liked what we did tonight, whether you listened as a Patreon subscriber to all... probably almost an hour and a half of this, or to the public-facing, the non-Patreon content, which is still probably going to be a little over an hour. Thank you so very much. If you would like to, and we would appreciate this, tell a friend about our podcast. Tell someone, share this, you know, get the word out. Get us one extra download a week. That would be absolutely amazing. Go to truthbeerpod.com. That is where all the links to our social media pages are. That is where you can get our email address if you want to send us anything. Links to our Patreon, which is unedited episodes. You get every terrible joke, every awkward pause, every sidetrack conversation, that we talk about because
every
we got a text.
Every impression Julia tries to do.
And they are terrible. Terrible. It's awful. The only thing that I do edit from the Patreon episode is the silences when we get up to take our breaks, bathroom breaks, get new beer, because that's 10, sometimes 30 minutes of dead air if we run into someone here at Higher Gravity or wherever we're recording to talk to. No one wants to sit around for 30 minutes of dead air. I cut out the dead air. Everything else, though, you guys are getting, and it's chaotic as hell, and we have had nothing but positive comments from our Patreon subscribers, and it helps in total transparency. It helps us pay for podcast hosting, web hosting. We don't use this to buy our beers, even though the levels are buy us a pint, buy us this. It all goes to make sure that we can keep publishing this show every single week for you guys because we love it and we love giving it to you. So go to truthbeerpod.com. Follow all of our links, click on Patreon. Every now and then I do put out an episode kind of like free to everyone. It's not super often, but you can get a couple of those episodes, like the shorter ones, to see what you may or may not be missing. And also we have a sister podcast called Cincy Beer Events where we give you the rundown of all of the beer events that we can find happening at parks and by breweries and bottle shops going out about a month to a month and a half-ish. Give that a follow if you say like going to events centered around beer but don't know how to find all of them. We let you know about as many of them as we can find. It's another thing that we love doing for you guys. With that being said, Marco?
Julia?
What are you going to be doing next week?
I'm going to be doing this, I think, here with you.
Cheers. And then we're going to be going to Columbus.
Yeah, that'll be awesome.
We'll see you guys there. Bye.